Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur joins us on a weekly basis here on a Monday. We rebroadcast it on the weekend, also following our noon news. And it's always nice to catch up with Arthur and talk about one of the favorite subjects of the world, food. Good morning, Arthur.
Eating.
Eating. That's
right. Eating. So, a little family secret here. Mr. Harned has refused to eat swordfish for the last, could be 3 years already. I found out on Saturday when I decided I had to cook swordfish that the reason, and he loved it, and the reason is that he had a bad experience with swordfish in Sicily last time we were there. Now, I don't remember this at all. I never remember having any bad swordfish in Sicily. Swordfish happens to be among the top fish of Sicily. You get it everywhere all the time. And I just don't remember this. But I decided I'm not going to fight this. There are many other fish in the sea, so to speak. But the other day, the swordfish was on a serious sale at my fish market, $18 a pound as opposed to the usual $22 to $24 a pound. That was one. And two, it looked really good, and it's line-caught local swordfish. So I thought, I have to buy this, $18 a pound. Now, let's remember that swordfish is pure protein. When you get a pound of swordfish, you get a pound of totally edible food. Unless there are a couple of cases where you might want to slice the skin off the swordfish steak, but usually I don't even bother. Depends. I'll tell you later why. So I bought it and I made it very, very simple. I made a green sauce because I had a ton of herbs in the refrigerator. Herbs do not last very long in the refrigerator. So I made a combination of chopped dill, parsley, basil. I had all these fresh in the fridge. And chives. Basil, parsley, dill, and chives, yes. I considered putting in a pinch of mint. And actually, we have mint growing in the garden here by the building. But I don't know. I didn't. I have another swordfish. I could write a book on swordfish. Huh. Because when in the days when I was cooking, I cooked it all the time. And as I cook a lot of southern Italian food, I end up eating a lot of swordfish. So the green sauce, all I did with the fish itself. Now, these were inch thick, a little over a half a pound each. And they took nice triangles of very white-fleshed swordfish. By the way, let me just sidebar here. A lot of swordfish will have a section that is red. And that, by the way, is what we call the bloodline. And it's because it's a muscle that the swordfish, which migrate thousands of miles every year, they use for long-distance swimming. It's basically a store of energy for them in a muscle that's, I guess, used more than most. So, in fact, that is totally edible. Don't think it's a flaw in the fish, that it's a bad thing. Some people prefer it because it does have a stronger flavor, ever so, I think, depending on the fish, than the white part of the fish. But if you are offended by that and you can't buy pieces, I was able to buy pieces without bloodline. I mean, I'm figuring maybe that was what Bob didn't like about swordfish, is that bloody part. So I bought white, totally white muscle. But if you want to cut and you can't get anything else, you know, you can cut out the bloodline. I wouldn't bother myself. Anyway, this was beautiful fish. $18. All I did with it is salt and pepper it and put it into a extremely hot skillet. I'll get to skillets in a second, too. I've been making some discoveries here. But I happen to have this very well-seasoned cast iron skillet. And it was wonderful in that. I just had to get it very hot, put in the swordfish. I seared it for like literally 2 minutes on a side, turned down the heat, and cooked it at lower heat for, I would say, it was maybe 5 minutes a side, because they were pretty thick pieces. And then I topped it with my very finely chopped herbs. Maybe for two pieces I had, I used a lot of herbs. I would say I had at least several tablespoons of each herb, so 12 tablespoons. It was 3/4 of a cup of herbs, at least, maybe closer to a cup of herb chopped. And I put that in a bowl, covered it with oil, grated some lemon zest in it, a pinch of salt, more than a pinch of pepper, a lot of pepper. I didn't want to put too much salt in because I didn't want the fish to be too salty, and I'd salted it on both sides before I grilled it. And that was it. It was sensational. And I served it with roasted peppers. It's finally pepper season around here. I was able to get some really good red peppers, put them in the oven. In fact, I didn't do it out. I wish I had outdoor space to do it. And the roasted peppers went great with this fish, as did some tomato cut up. I didn't even bother to do anything with it because the green sauce with the oil. I could have added garlic to that, but I wanted the chives to shine. I had a lot of chives, so I didn't put garlic in, but definitely you could put garlic in. Definitely you could mash an anchovy in there if that's your liking. There are a lot of things you can do with the green sauce. Now, the flavors that go with swordfish, to me, because I cook Southern Italian style mostly, are all the Mediterranean flavors, including in Sicily, you know, one of their favorite combinations, which is salty and sweet, and the salty comes from anchovy and capers, salted capers, and the sweet comes from currants or raisins or sultana, the big white ones. And then you could also throw in some nuts there, too, pine nuts. This is all what they say is the Arab influence in Sicilian cooking. That has a big question mark after it. There's some revisionist thoughts about the Arab influence. But anyway, it is sort of, you know, it's of the Mediterranean, for sure. So I have a recipe for that, too. Let me see here. So this is my friend Franca Michelli's recipe. She has lived her entire life in Siracusa in Sicily, and she's a wonderful cook. I'm not sure she's cooking much anymore. Her family is all adults, and she's a businesswoman. She owns a car dealership. And by the way, I learned a lot of easy things from Franca, but not only did she put dinner on the table every day, but she did it for some very health nut kids. In any case, her recipe is very, very simple. And I have it as a recipe for pasta to put the pesce spada, the swordfish, on pasta. Excuse me. But this little sauce, you might say sughetto in Italian, little sauce, is good just on the top of a swordfish steak. Or, as, you know, Franca does, simmer the swordfish in the sauce, and she then breaks it up and puts it on pasta, but you don't have to. So the sauce is 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil and a medium onion. Now that, to me, ends up being 1 cup of finely minced onion. Could be a little less. A rare thing for me, because I cook sort of Neapolitan style, is in Sicily they often combine onion and garlic. So 2 cloves of garlic Franco throws in there, also finely minced, and 1 carrot, finely minced, and saute all of that together until they're all tender but not yet coloring. That usually takes about 10 minutes. And then put in 4 plum tomatoes. Now, if you can get fresh, as we can right now, really good plum tomatoes, put in 4 plum tomatoes peeled and seeded and diced. But if you want, and by the way, it's a slightly different texture and flavor, but you can use a 14-ounce can of peeled tomatoes. Now, I've got to say, 14-ounce cans of plum tomatoes are not easy to find. So you may just have to use a half of a large can of tomatoes, which is 28 ounces. Anyway, you put in your tomatoes and then a couple tablespoons of pine nuts and a couple tablespoons of raisins or currants, and you simmer all this together for a few minutes, and then you put in your swordfish, which could be about a pound of swordfish, could be over a pound of swordfish, depending on how many people you're serving. And you know, in Sicily, when you buy swordfish, it's usually cut rather thin. Here, it's everybody wants to grill it or bake it or whatever they do with it. It's an inch thick. I would like it to be a half an inch thick for this. And if not, you could take your inch thick. If you're making this with pasta, don't make the swordfish steaks. You can cut up the swordfish into cubes and just put it in the sauce and cook it a few minutes. By the way, this is enough for at least a pound of ziti, penne, rigatoni, any tubular pasta. I happen to like this with large tube pasta, like rigatoni, or zitoni, the wider, thicker ziti. Why? Because the swordfish gets caught in tubes. So that's yet another swordfish recipe. Now, here's one that I made for years, and I have not made in a long time, for I'm not sure exactly. This was taught to me by Iris Carulli, who is my friend living in Rome for the last 15, 16 years, but she's American. She's from New York. She's a real Manhattan girl. And when Iris went to graduate school in Italy and then married a Sicilian, and this is one of the things that she did. You will never find this in a cookbook except my cookbook. Because I never met anybody even in Sicily who does this. Oh, yes, Franca Michelli, who is Iris's former sister-in-law, makes this. And I have to say, I do a lot of things, it seems, that Iris's late great mother-in-law used to do because I learned it from Iris, who learned it from her. Anyway, this is, if you don't want to cook in the afternoon when it gets hot, you make this in the morning and let it sit all day. And that is, finely chop as many garlic, I always say this, as my recipe will say 6 to 8 large cloves of garlic finely chopped, but I always say as many garlic cloves as you can mince finely until you get bored, and put those on a platter, on a big platter that's going to be big enough to cover your swordfish later to be in one layer on the platter. So I would use let's say four. This is for four people. Let's say 4 half-inch thick swordfish steaks, or even thinner. If you can get a fishmonger to cut your swordfish steaks a quarter of an inch, it's even better. So you put all this garlic on the dish and cover it with extra virgin olive oil. I mean, just pour enough oil over the garlic so it's submerged. And then a tablespoon. I know this sounds like a lot. A tablespoon of dried mint, not fresh mint, dried mint, and I powder it by pushing it through a fine sieve over the garlic and oil. By the way, you're going to need at least a third of a cup of oil, probably more. Don't worry, you can always reuse this oil later. Now take your swordfish and just grill it. And now you can do this in your cast iron, grill it over high heat. You might want to do it in a ridged pan. That's good, too. If it's only a quarter of an inch thick, it's not going to take more than a minute per side. If it's a little thicker, it may take a little longer. Swordfish, you know it's done when it depends on the swordfish steak and the method, but it really should not be too dry. That's the important thing. It can even be a little pink in the inside when you finish. But in the case of a quarter inch thick, a slice of swordfish, literally 1 minute per side in the hottest possible cast iron ridged pan. And as soon as it's done, lift. By the way, if you don't use a ridged pan, sprinkle coarse sea salt. This is what I always used to do, and I guess it is a little salty. You got to love salt. But sprinkle a little, not so little, bit of very coarse sea salt on your hot pan, iron pan, and cook the swordfish like that. Now, when it comes out of the pan, some of the salt will, of course, cling to the fish. Brush it off right into the pan, back into the pan, and you can cook the rest of your fish that way. And then put the fish on the platter. Now it has a lot of garlic, dried mint, and olive oil on it. And sprinkle, when all the fish is done, you can sprinkle it with a little bit of red wine vinegar, white wine vinegar, if you have it. My friend Franca in Syracuse, she loves apple cider vinegar. So, I mean, it could be apple cider vinegar, which I think a lot of us keep in the kitchen more than we would white wine vinegar. And that's it. And you can let that sit all morning until lunchtime, or I should say all afternoon until dinner time, but for hours. It just sits there in the oil, and you can turn it over a couple of times to make sure it stays coated with oil. If it really bothers you to keep it open like that, you can put a piece of plastic over it. But it's good. It's really good. Now, what else do we want to know about swordfish?
I don't know. You know, I used to like swordfish, but for some reason, tuna has replaced me with swordfish for me.
I understand that, but I think tuna is... I love tuna, but I like it raw.
Well, but that's what I'm seeing. That's
better than cooked or canned, better than cooked fresh. On the other hand, I used to make, I haven't done this in a while, especially now that I avoid sugar, but I used to make Sicilian kind of tuna. They love tuna in Sicily, too. I have to add that. In Calabria, you know, I buy tuna from Calabria. There are a couple of brands. Califo is one of them. And so they do that. But I would bread and fry, or I should say flour and fry, a thick tuna steak, and then put it in a sweet and sour sauce, very Sicilian sweet and sour. Another one is I used to make pasta. I haven't done this one in a while either, with cubed tuna in a sauce that had garlic and marsala. Very good combination, even though it sounds a little strange. Oh, and as far as swordfish goes, one of the things, flavors that I love with swordfish is fennel and fennel seed. And a big way of, now, for all of you who like to grill, don't even want to turn the oven or stove on, swordfish is great on the grill. A big problem, well, I shouldn't say a big problem, people who cook swordfish on the grill have figured it out, but, you know, it could stick to the grill. But what Sicilians would do is they do empanada, which is breaded. It's not really breaded. It's just dredged in breadcrumbs. And for me, the breadcrumbs should contain a little bit of fennel seed. So when I do my breadcrumbs, I crush some fennel seed into the breadcrumbs. But for a cup of breadcrumbs, you're going to need at least a teaspoon of salt and a teaspoon of roughly ground fennel seed, garlic, a tablespoon, that's really quite a bit of garlic, finely chopped, a few tablespoons of parsley, very finely chopped. And what I like to do is brush the fish slices with olive oil. Now, some people would actually marinate the fish slice. If you have an inch thick swordfish steak, you can marinate it. If you have a very, very thin swordfish steak, I wouldn't. But a thick one, you could. But in any case, and what would you marinate it in? Just lemon juice and olive oil. But I like to do it the opposite way. I like to cook it and then put the lemon juice on. But anyway, so brush it with olive oil and then dredge it in those seasoned breadcrumbs, so that each side is well coated. And now you can put this on your grill, and it'll take no time to cook, of course, depending on the thickness. I don't have an outdoor space to cook in, so I do it in the oven, and I bake the fish at 450 degrees, which is pretty high, 450 degrees for, I would say, at least 5 minutes, depending on the size, could be 8 minutes, and serve that hot with lemon wedges on top. I love it. And that's about as easy as it gets. All you're doing is really making up a nice breadcrumb mixture, which, by the way, as a breadcrumb mixture, I use for other things, too. That's something I would put on top of clams, for instance, to make baked clams, in which case I would add some olive oil to the breadcrumb mixture so that the crumbs get nice and crunchy and even a little browned on top. Put that over an opened clam under the broiler for a couple minutes. I actually go to a restaurant to get this because I'm the only baked clam eater I know. So I have to go to a place in Diker Heights.
Oh, I just love baked clams.
Well, why used to?
When I was a kid, we used to get, my father used to bring them home from the city. If he'd get home at 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd wake me up because he knew I love stuffed clams.
Well, I do too. And, you know, it's called, the restaurant in Diker Heights is called Il Colosseo, the Colosseum, Il Colosseo, and it's on 18th Avenue and I'm thinking 79th Street. Diker Heights is a famous Italian-American neighborhood because Christmas time, and there are some rich people there, at Christmas time, the neighborhood goes way, way over the top with Christmas lights to such a point that they prohibit parking in the neighborhood around, I don't know, maybe starting right after Thanksgiving until the week after New Year's. And I heard last year or the year before, maybe the year before, because of the pandemic, that there is a golf course right there, the Diker Heights Public Golf Course, and they actually opened the parking lot for people, for the tourists. Now, beyond it being a tourist thing, and buses come to see these Diker Heights Christmas lights, you can see them from a plane. I'm not sure if you can see them from a rocket ship, maybe, but I have actually seen them from a plane coming back from wherever I was going around holiday time. And yeah, it's this colorful spot on in Brooklyn. So it is like sort of the last Brooklyn Italian neighborhood. Because the old Italian neighborhoods, everybody's moved on, and old people left, and a couple stores, but those neighborhoods are either now Chinese or Middle Eastern. Not a bad thing necessarily, but I do miss some stores. But there are some key places still in Diker Heights. If you ever want to do an Italian-American thing in Brooklyn, that's the neighborhood to go to. Anyway, I am going to buy more swordfish today. Now that I've broken the ice with Mr. Harned, he's open to swordfish again. And we do need to eat more fish. I was just running out of fish to buy. I do this let's have black cod again. Well, I got tired of black cod after a while. It's a very oily fish, delicious fish, but I needed to move on to something else.
I like Dover sole as well.
Well, I do too, but where are you going to get a good Dover sole?
Yeah, I know.
And how much you're willing to pay for it?
I don't care about paying for it.
I'm sure that there are some very upscale, I hate that word, there are some very expensive restaurants in Manhattan, usually French, that serve Dover sole, and I bet you it's about $60, I'm guessing, for an entree of Dover sole, if it's even that cheap. I don't know. I've never seen Dover sole for sale at retail.
They
have
it. Yeah, they have it up here in Sharon in the fish market.
You got a lot of rich people. I don't know. It was probably frozen too.
No, that's right. He goes down to the fish market every morning.
Really? Yeah. Well, I'm impressed.
And he brings back a bunch of fish.
I've never seen it for sale here.
Yeah, no, there's that, and there's one other white fish. I forget it is that.
You sure it's Dover sole?
Yeah, Dover sole. It's not. It's not every day, but he gets there probably a couple times.
From the English Channel.
What?
From the English Channel.
I don't know. It says Dover sole on it, so I would figure.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Dover, New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
Still makes me feel good. Still makes me feel good if I don't know.
How much is it?
gosh, it's expensive because a small piece costs like $9.99 I mean, $10
I don't know. It would be very. I mean, it is very expensive even before it was expensive. I mean, fish is very expensive. But as I point out, with tuna is another one. You're getting pure protein. It goes a long way. You know, a pound tuna steak is a pound of protein.
It's funny.
By the way, tuna is extremely healthy. But also, by the way, I thought this was interesting. We're old enough to remember when swordfish, we were told not to eat swordfish because it was going extinct.
Yeah.
Well, it's been almost 30 years since then. And it's one of those save the swordfish that really worked. And now we have an abundance of swordfish. And it is it is considered a sustainable fish. There are a lot of regulations for fishing it in the North Atlantic anyway. I don't know if there are any regulations in Sicily. Probably, if there are, nobody pays attention to them. But here people do pay attention to them. And we have an abundance of North Atlantic swordfish. And so I actually predict the price may go down even further, because $18 a pound is already, you know, a nice price for swordfish, for any fish. I mean, Dover sole, I'm surprised. I mean, you said $9 for a filet, but a filet could be a half a pound, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe even a third of a pound. So that's only $18 a pound, $27 a pound. You know, that's what tuna costs around here.
I also like, grouper?
I like grouper, too, but yeah. I try to find fresh grouper. That's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to go to Florida. Who wants to go to Florida?
Story of my life.
I'm not going to Florida. I didn't like Florida even before the pandemic.
That's right. All right.
But you can get fresh grouper.
All right, Arthur.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Have a great week, everyone.
You too. Bye-bye. We went on a little fishing expedition there with Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.